Hello, how you doing? My name is Kewan Foster, and I'm the church planting pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We pray and hope that you are blessed by the word of God that is about to get ready to come forward today. We ask that you consider this. Consider partnering with us as we continue to partner with God to help spread the message of the gospel around the globe. And you can do this by subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos, and sharing those videos with others. Again, welcome, and may the peace and the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. And so last week we concluded our 16-part, yes, y'all heard me say that right, 16-part walkthrough sermon series on the book of Nehemiah. If you have missed any of those messages from that sermon series, we highly encourage you to take the time to view them, to listen to them. Of course, as you all may be aware and some may not be aware, there's a number of different ways that you can listen to our sermons. We have a podcast through Podbean, which we have that, and we include that in our description box. We also have an account and set up on Spotify, so that's another platform that we have. And then also we have our YouTube channel. So again, we want to encourage you to go and to listen to or view those sermons from the Nehemiah sermon series, and pray and hope that you were encouraged and greatly blessed by that. Typically what I do, you all, and excuse me, I want to share this with you all. Of course, those of you all who are connected to Out of Love Ministries, you've probably heard me make this statement before. For some of you all who may have not heard me make this statement, I just like to say this from time to time so that you can just have clarity. I am a communicator of the gospel, a preacher of the gospel, where my preference is to preach in sermon series. And there's a number of reasons why I do that. One of the main reasons that I do that is because preaching in a sermon series allows me the opportunity to deal adequately with the specific subject that I am addressing, or to deal specifically with that book and not feel rushed. A lot of times what preachers of the gospel or teachers would do when preparing for a sermon is they will try to put every single thing in that message and share with the audience that they're communicating, everything that God shared with them about that text. And a lot of times, if you try to do that, you're going to have an overload and you'll end up preaching, you know, maybe a sermon that might be an hour, an hour and a half, or 2 hours long. And guess what? If that is what your audience or your congregation that the Lord has set you over, if that's something that they are accustomed to and that is the norm at your community of faith, then by all means. But I just know with me personally, one of the reasons that I preach in the sermon series is because I feel that I have the time where I don't have to try to put everything all in one message. I know I'm going to break it up in bite-sized pieces. And so for me, that's just one of the reasons why I preach in sermon series. And typically, whenever I finish a sermon series, I like to wait maybe about a month or so before I go back into another sermon series. And so during that time, I will preach what we call topical sermons, where I'll focus specifically on one subject and I'll maybe preach one or two parts in that. And so so that's what I'm going to go ahead and do today. We won't be starting a sermon series right now. We'll be starting one maybe in about a month or so. But something the Lord put in my heart, and actually this occurred when we were having on Wednesday, we were having a discipleship class with a cohort, a group of participants who we are leading through our class in I Love Ministries, where we are talking about spiritual gifts. We're talking about how your personality, your spiritual gifts, your abilities, your heart passion, and your life experiences all help to shape and place you in a place where you can serve in ministry. And so as I was going through the class, the Holy Spirit put in my heart this passage of scripture that I'm going to share with you all today and where I'm going to preach from. And as I shared this passage of scripture with the participants, I was making a specific point. And so I just really felt that the Lord was leading me to deal and to use this passage of scripture to preach on. And so I may preach on it for the next 2 weeks, but definitely I heard from God to speak from this passage of scripture. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 9, and we're just going to look at two verses, you all, verses 49 and verse 50. Verses 49 and verse 50. And here's what the Bible says, you all, in Luke chapter 9, verses 49 through verse 50. The Bible says, John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for me." Amen, amen. And I want to speak from this thought today, you all. This thought, if you don't mind. He's with me. He is with me. He is with me. And let me tell you something. When you are with the Lord, it makes a world of a difference, because when you are with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have certain benefits and privileges that those who are not with him do not have, which the greatest benefit and privilege that you have when you are with him is that you are reconciled back to God and you are placed back in right standing and in relationship with God through the sacrificial atoning death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I want to speak from the thought of he's with me. Now, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, there are some things that are very important in terms of highlights. And more specifically, what I'm about to say is what I want to focus on as I lead into our message for today. In Jesus's ministry, understand that people, a number of different people, did not care too much for Jesus for their own specific reasons. And more specifically, the crowd of people that Jesus had the most problem with was not the sinners. Let me repeat that again. The audience that Jesus had issues with in terms of those who confronted him, those who tried to test him and present questions and ask him, well, what does this mean? It wasn't the sinners. It wasn't the tax collector. Wasn't the prostitute. It was the religious leaders, the religious elite. They were the ones who caused the trouble and the issues and the problems with Jesus. The ones who were in the church, hello, somebody, were the ones who ended up causing Jesus the most issues and problems that he had in his ministry. The Bible tells us concerning these sinners, on a number of different occasions, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was out in these different places and he was preaching and he was teaching, that the sinners drew near to hear him, that they wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They were listening attentively to what the Lord has to say. Clearly, his message was resonating with them because they had a desire to hear what he had to say. But the religious leaders had a desire to hear what he had to say for a different reason, because they wanted to use that as an opportunity to trip Jesus up. And watch this, you all. Sometimes, and on many occasions, we would see in the Bible that when Jesus would have an audience, you would have people from across different spectrum who was there. The religious leaders would show up and they were there. The people who were sinners, they would show up and they were there. But while these people were there, while this crowd was there, for some people, it may have given the impression that because all of these people were there, they all supported Jesus. Can I say something to you? Just because somebody shows up to something that you are doing, it does not mean that they support you. Hello, somebody, you better walk with me right now. I'm going to say that again. Don't make the mistake of thinking that just because somebody shows up to an event or a venue, or they show up and appear to be supporting you, and even if they tell you that they support you, don't just take that to the bank and actually believe that that person is there in full support of you. And Jesus knew this in his ministry. Jesus knew that everybody who says they're with me, they're not really with me. See, Jesus knew what it really meant to be with him. To really be with Jesus didn't mean that you just vocalized it. Hello, somebody. See, to really be with Jesus doesn't mean that just because I open up my mouth and say that Jesus is my best friend or Jesus is my Lord, that that's the stamp or the seal of approval that means that I am a committed disciple of the Lord. No, 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 no. That the telltale sign that a person is truly with Jesus is when that person is following through and that person is being obedient to the statutes and the commandments and the things that Jesus has commanded them to be obedient to. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. You will keep my commandments, and my Father will love you. So just because people showed up to hear Jesus and the crowds flocked to him, it did not mean that they were with him. Y'all better walk with me right now. But for those who truly supported the Lord, who truly were with him, they were about putting into action the kingdom principles that the Lord Jesus talked about in his ministry. This is how you know when a person is truly with Jesus, when they are following and applying the word of God actively to their lives. That's the problem that we have in our culture today. So many people try to identify with Jesus by saying out of their mouth and verbalizing that they are a follower of the Lord or that they know the Lord. And they think that that simply means that because they tell people they identify with Jesus, that they rolling with Jesus. No, 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 no. You rolling with Jesus. Come on, somebody. You're rolling with Jesus when you have confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You're rolling with Jesus when you repent of your sins and you turn away from your ways and you turn to God and you walk in the righteousness of Christ. You are rolling with Jesus when you are about advancing the kingdom of God and being about your Father's business. Because those are the people who Jesus say, you know what? He's with me. She's with me. They're with me. And if you're with Jesus, Jesus say, hold on now. If they're with me, you better leave them alone. Jesus said, if they're with me, let them be and leave them alone. Y'all walk with me right now. Y'all see the text. The Bible says that John, and we know that this is the John, according to the biblical narrative, John was handpicked by Jesus and he served as one of the apostles. One of the ones that once Jesus went back to God the Father in heaven, he was given the responsibility, or the apostles was given the responsibility, to carry out the work of the Lord that Jesus commanded and commissioned them to do. And John was one of those individuals who was selected. This is the same John who wrote the gospel according to John, the same John who wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, those three epistles that we have, the same John who the Bible identifies, or who has been identified or coined as being the disciple of love, because he speaks so much about love in his epistles and in his books. I'm talking about the John who was put on an exile on the island of Patmos because of his testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, and who wrote the book of Revelation. That John came to Jesus, according to the text, And he said, Master, listen how he approached Jesus and listen how he referred to Jesus, recognizing that Jesus is the master over his soul, the master over his life. I want to know who's the master over your life. Is it Jesus? Because if it's Jesus, then everything about you, people ought to be able to look at you and see the handprint of Jesus on your life. But for some of us, people can't see the handprint of Jesus because they see the handprint of the world, because we've been so influenced by the world. They don't see the handprint of Jesus. They see the handprint of Satan because we have some nasty, odious, wicked attitudes that are not of God at all. But yet and still, we try to show up in the crowd where Jesus sat so that people can look at us and people can think that we're rolling with Jesus. But our attitude and our disposition and how we carry ourselves is not like that of Christ. Y'all better walk with me right now, you all. I'm feeling some fire right now. Come on, somebody. This John said to Jesus, he said, Lord, we saw somebody casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us. Now, let me pause you all. Let's paint the picture and understand a couple things. Remember, as I said to you, when you look at the Gospels and you read the Gospels, it is clear that when Jesus started his earthly ministry, he started, or there was a following that began to follow him. Jesus had disciples, people who made the decision to commit their lives to following Jesus. And Jesus made sure that he let them know what the requirements were if they were going to follow him. Jesus said, listen, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and you're going to have to follow me. If you're going to be my disciple, then you have to understand that I am number one and I am the most important person in your life. If you are going to be my disciple, Jesus made it real clear, you all. He didn't hold anything back. He made it clear what his expectations were if a person was going to follow him. And when you look at his ministry, and as Jesus made those expectations of what a person had to do to follow him, Jesus also made it clear in those expectations that I expect for you to put into action what you hear me preaching about and what you hear me teaching about. Now, in this passage of scripture, John says, Lord, we saw a man who was casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he was not with us. So they see a man who's preaching the gospel, preaching about the kingdom of God. And in the midst of preaching about the kingdom of God, clearly this man, as the text says, he's performing what is called an exorcism. The Bible says he's casting out demons. That's plural, you all. More than one. He's casting out demons, and he's casting out demons out of people, and he's using the name of Jesus to do this. That sounds like great news to me. People are being delivered. Shackles are being broken. The kingdom of God is being proclaimed. People are being set free. Satan's kingdom is being crushed and stamped on. So why in the world does John have a problem and the other disciples had a problem with what they saw? Because this wasn't just something that John saw, you all. It was the other disciples who were with Jesus. Look, John answered and said, Master, we saw someone. He didn't say I, singular. He said we, more than one. We saw somebody casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Oh, I wish I could have seen that, you all. I wish I could have seen the apostles or the disciples of Jesus roll up on this man who was casting out demons, and the power and the presence of God was so full and on full display. And the Bible says they tried to stop him. Now, the text don't tell us what they did to try to stop this man, but clearly they were unsuccessful, because let me tell you something. You can't stop the true move of God when it starts moving. Do you hear what I'm saying, you all? It's kind of like that saying with Superman when they said, faster than a locomotive. I don't know about you all, but who is going to get in the way of a train when a train is full speed ahead? Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something. When God gets the moving and the power and the presence of God is on move, the best thing you can do is move on out the way. Because if you don't, God will move you on out the way. They tried to stop this person, to stop this man from doing the work of the Lord. And the only reason they tried to stop him, you all, you know why? Was because he was not with their group. Because he did not belong to their, come on, walk with me, somebody, church. Because he was not a part of their clique. That's the only reason. That's what bothered them the most, you all. There was no level of excitement for what they saw happening. They knew that the power of God was present. How? Because they know Jesus himself. They had seen Jesus cast out demons. You can't listen. There is no other passages of scripture in the Bible where demons are successfully cast out without the name of Jesus being used, or without the power of God being used as the authority. So clearly, when they saw this, what should have went up in their minds is, man, glory be to God. Look at how the Holy Spirit, or look at how God is, the Spirit of God is moving as this person is casting out demons. What should have happened is they should have came to Jesus and said, Lord, listen, we want to show you something. There's a man who's preaching the kingdom of gospel, the message of the gospel, just like you told us. He's preaching, Lord, and he's casting out demons. This man was able to do something that the disciples themselves at times had a problem doing. You remember when the disciples came down from the mountain of transfiguration? And the Bible said that a man met them whose son had been possessed with a demonic spirit, or the text may have said spirits. And the man told Jesus this. He said, Lord, can you please see about my son? I brought him to your disciples, but they were not able to help him. They could not, they did not have the solution. Well, they had the solution, but they could not heal him or cast the demons out. And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus said, listen, he told the disciples when they asked and said, Lord, why were we unsuccessful? This is the aftermath, because Jesus was able to clearly exorcise the demon and call the demon out. And after everything was over and Jesus was in a secluded place with his disciples, they said, Lord, why were we unsuccessful when we tried to cast out that demon as opposed to you? And that's when Jesus said, this type of demon only comes out through much prayer and fasting. So this man was able to be successful in doing something in ministry that the disciples at time were not able to be successful at. See, when I look at this passage of scripture, you all, what really strokes me, or what really hits me in my heart, especially as I look at the church today and as I look at the church as we are coming out of this coronavirus pandemic, what really hits me about this passage of scripture, you all, is this. And this has been one of my biggest prayers for the church since I've been a believer and since I have come into contact and the knowledge of seeing this within the church. And my biggest prayer is this, you all, that we as believers will be more concerned about helping advance the kingdom of God by partnering with other believers in the body of Christ, rather than criticizing and talking about people, and rather than saying that they not with us. Come on, somebody. Y'all better walk with me right now. Because that's what happens a lot of times. You all, I want to challenge you to do something. Whatever zip code that you live in, here's what I want you to do. Whatever zip code you live in, I want you to go and type in your zip code Or maybe this might be a good exercise for you to do in your community. Drive around in your community within a 3 to 7 mile radius. And I want you to count, how many different religious institutions do you see? How many churches do you see in your community? For some of you all, based upon where you live, it may be 2 or 3. For some of you all, it may be 10 to 15. For some of you all, it may be 20 plus churches. And here's what I'm going to tell you, what I know for certain. Well, here I'm going to tell you what would probably be the case from research and things that I've studied that I've done, that if you were to go to those churches and you were to ask them if they had a working ministry relationship with each other, watch how many of those churches tell you no. In fact, some of them churches will tell you they've been in the community for 10 to 15 to 20 years and they never even knocked on the door, picked up the phone or called the other churches that are right there in the community with them. They're trying to start all these different ministries and these initiatives, which are great to help advance the kingdom, but they have no knowledge that they're trying to start a food pantry when there's 5 churches in their local community that already have food pantries. So why would you want to start a food pantry if there's 5 other churches that have a food pantry? To me, it would seem to make more kingdom sense to partner with those churches and say, hey, what can we do to become a part of what you all are already doing? We can have our members bring in some food, or we have relationships with these other different grocery stores where we can bring the produce to you all to help out. You don't got to put our name on the box. You don't need to put the name of our pastor of the church on the box. We just want to help advance the kingdom of God and what you all are doing. Come on, you all. I'm talking about doing kingdom work. And I'm telling you right now, the church is going to continue to lose its power and its influence unless she gets herself together and wake up and understand that it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. And it's about seeing the will of God be fulfilled. The disciples had a problem. And some of you right now have a problem. You have a problem when you see other people who not a part of your church group or a part of your church or a part of your clique, and you see them being successful and having impact and they're effective in ministry. And rather than praising God and thanking God or looking for a way or an opportunity on how you can support this person or you can partner and join with this particular church, you talk about them. Make fun of how they look, how they dress, how they sound. Please find in the scriptures where that is considered to be acceptable and Christ-like. But you got a lot of people that do it, you all. Leave them alone. Leave him alone. Leave her alone. They're being way more effective than you because you're doing too much time running your mouth talking about people when you need to be telling people about the Lord. And stop gossiping about other people. And I see somebody done got mad at me and they done turned me off when they should have turned me up. I'm just trying to keep it real, you all. It happens. And some of you all who have experienced, you know I'm telling the truth. They tried to stop this man who was doing ministry, who was effective for the kingdom of God, rather than try to partner with him or try to introduce him to Jesus or ask him questions about, man, how did you come to know the Lord? The first thing they did is they went to go tell Jesus. Look at Jesus' response, you all. Verse 50 says, but Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for me. Jesus said, listen, I don't support what y'all tried to do. You all tried to stop this man from doing what he was doing as he was doing ministry. Oh, you all, I'm just thinking about the people. I'm thinking about church folk who done made it their business to try to stop other people who not a part of their clique or a part of their group from doing the work of the Lord. Just because your name ain't on it, you mad and upset. Just because they're not doing it the way that you want to see it be done, you mad and upset. But who cares about what you think and how it should be done? As long as they are in the will of the Lord And they are doing what God has commissioned them to do. And they are walking in the light as he is in the light. Leave them alone. How about you go and pray for them and you ask God's blessing on their efforts and what they're continuing to do? Or better yet, how about you find out how can you support them as they continue to help advance the kingdom of God right there in your local community, right where you are? I remember you all, and I'm getting ready to close. I remember when my family and I, when we lived in Cookeville, Tennessee, and we lived in Cookeville, Tennessee from January of 2003 all the way up until August of 2008. And then we relocated to Atlanta, Georgia, because I received a 3-year full tuition preaching scholarship to attend the McAfee School of Theology. And during the time that we were in Cookeville, Tennessee, we became members of Stephen Street Baptist Church, a church community that we love dearly. In fact, Stephen Street Baptist Church is our sending church in that they support us as a church plant here in the Atlanta area. And I'll never forget that during the time that we were there, there was this ministry initiative that Stephen Street, along with some other local churches there in the area in Cookeville, had, and it was called Crossover Sunday. Up until this point, I had never experienced anything like this before. And what happened with Crossover Sunday, they were intentional about bringing these churches together, churches where many of the members would have probably never met each other. Or if they met each other, it's because they, you know, family probably know each other. They go to school together, but they've probably never done anything from a fellowship perspective, a partnership together as churches. And what they did was they took a map and mapped out the whole town or a large portion of the town. And they said, okay, we're going to break you up in groups. You all are from this church. We're going to pair you up with people from this church. You're going to be with the people from this church. And here's what our mission is, you all. Like Jesus sent out the disciples, or the 72 that we read about right there in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Crossover Sunday said, we're going to send you out in the community to knock on doors so that you can, watch this, not be in competition and tell people what church you go to and try to get them to come to your church. No, but say that you can knock on the door and tell people about the goodness of God and simply ask them, how can I be of service for you? How can I pray for you? Let me tell you something. As I reflect over my life and 20 plus years in ministry, that experience right there was one of the most impactful ministry experiences I've ever had in my life, because I was able to be in partnership with brothers and sisters in Christ who did not look like me ethnically, who didn't sound like me, right? Who didn't come from the same socioeconomic status, so to speak, as me, but we were able, despite our differences, we had one commonality in common, and that was the same blood that spilled on Calvary. We each had accepted the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, and we were able to go to these doors in this community to do ministry together. That's what I want to see you all, especially after we just came up out and we're still in this pandemic. If this COVID-19 pandemic has not taught the church anything, my prayer is that it has taught it. We should have learned from this pandemic that we need to do a better job of working together with each other to help advance the kingdom of God, being able to pull our resources together, to not work against each other, but to work together for the glory of God. I'm pretty sure that Jesus's response may have perhaps shocked them. Jesus told the disciples, do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you. In short, Jesus said, listen, if a person is not preaching another gospel or another message contrary to the one that you support and that you're preaching, that I commissioned and told y'all to, if this person is in support and they're advancing the kingdom, Jesus said, they're not against you. They're for you. Therefore, leave them alone. And when I say leave them alone means Don't try to stop and prevent them from doing what God has put in their heart to do. As long as they are in line with the will of God, Jesus said, they are right with me. Pray and hope that you are encouraged by this word. Ask that you be in prayer for churches all over the world. My prayer is that there will be a move of God like we've never seen, where churches will begin to break out of this mindset and this mold of being so cliquish, and out of this mindset and this mold of trying to form their own kingdom. But they understand that there's only one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. May God bless you and may he keep you. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you be with us and keep us. Lord, we pray that what was said here today will stick in our hearts and our minds. Lord God, we ask that you help us on this journey to become more open, more accepted, to partnering with others, Lord God, who may look different than us, but who are clearly about the same business that you are about. And that is the business of seeing people come to know your son, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, we ask all these blessings in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.